This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
Happy Thanksgiving, John.
Yeah, well, happy Thanksgiving to you. Well, you look all festive.
Yeah, I'm
your little
ready
turkey
for it.
Shirt and stuff.
You like the turkey shirt?
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I went to the turkey shirt store and picked up this turkey shirt. Turkey shirts are us, that's called, and it's specially designed.
Well, yeah, the sleeves are like wings.
Yeah, they are. Kind of smells like turkey, too, with the stuffing in there. Yeah.
Yeah, you stuff it real well.
It's got a little overstuffed, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, here it is, Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know, time to gather the family together. You have relatives coming in from all parts of the U.S.
And well, I told them I have to do the show, and they're just going to have dinner without me.
Oh, well.
Why don't you bring him to the station?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great. Boy, they'd love that. We have old popcorn in the back.
We do. Got plenty of popcorn.
It's still here?
It's
from election
still,
day.
It's been here for like almost a month.
Yeah. Well.
But you declared it's still good. It's still crunchy, right?
Yeah. Popcorn really doesn't get old.
No.
Unless, you know, moisture gets at it. But
it definitely does get old, John.
Well, anyway. Sam, you ready for Thanksgiving?
I am.
Yeah?
I'm excited,
big plans? Don't do anything later today?
Going up to the Twin Cities. Going to Sophia's parents' place. Last year we spent Thanksgiving with my family, so we're going over there this time.
Nice. Going through the over the river and through the woods.
Exactly.
Okay.
Along the interstate we go.
That's wonderful. Well, here it is, Thanksgiving Day. You know, there's nothing to worry about weather-wise. I wouldn't worry about it if I were you.
Right.
Look outside the window, check your phone.
It's seasonal weather. That's what it's all about.
Seasonal weather. That's right. Yeah. So wherever you are, just check your phones, check your, you know, local weather people.
Or your watch. You know, I always check my watch.
Yeah. Your watch is very accurate.
You know, I was thinking about this. Every year around Thanksgiving time, I see clips on social media of the WKRP turkey drop.
Oh, sure.
Always comes up.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
And I'm curious if either of you have ever done some sort of special broadcast for Thanksgiving like that. You've been in radio for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Forever. Well, we've done Thanksgiving parades.
We've done those, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
were you dressed up as a turkey on a float?
No, I felt like a turkey on a float.
Wasn't it over the Thanksgiving holiday many years ago where they wanted you to be encased in ice? Wasn't that over a holiday weekend?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
But you refused. You just flat out refused.
No,
they came
no
up with this idea at the last second. They had this promotion that traveled the country. You get your DJ to get into this big giant ice cube thing.
That's right.
With a little space for you in between all of the ice. And then you're there for like 48 hours.
Right. And people would donate money for a charity.
It was like a coffin, yes.
But I think what happened was during that kind of promotion all across the United States, they were waiting for some jock to die.
to get publicity.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
I almost spit out my coffee there.
Yeah. Well, they didn't care about the DJ. There's plenty of other DJs.
Waiting for that one big event to put them on the map.
Right.
And I wasn't going to be the disc jockey that died in ice.
Yeah. So the program director at that time at WMAD.
He had to do it for me.
He had to do it because we refused to do it.
Yep.
He was in that block of ice for 48 hours. He survived. People came in the middle of the night. You know, you could. I don't know what park was it at. I can't remember. Somewhere on the north end of town.
I can't remember.
Yeah, but people, you could see there was a little window there. You could look into the thing and see that. Yes, he was there and he could talk to you.
I might just be crazy enough or stupid enough to agree to do something like that, because I've like gone camping in the snow before.
But don't do it.
It can't be that different from that.
No, it is.
Are you claustrophobic at all? Yeah. Oh my God, I couldn't. I immediately refused to do it. No way.
Well, they gave you bathroom breaks.
They did. Oh, that's right. Like once an hour, every couple hours, you could get out for like 5 minutes.
Yep,
that was it. Yeah, well. Well, we hope whatever you're doing this Thanksgiving Day that it's a good one for you folks out there, and enjoy your time with the family, with the turkey and the stuffing and all that stuff.
Okay? Well, thank you, Gordy.
Okay. Let's check the National Day calendar
all right,
for today.
Let's
I wonder
do that.
What could be on that for
I don't know.
This November 28th, celebrating what is it today? What is it today? Is it National Allen Day? Is it National French Toast Day?
Ooh.
Is it National Turkey Free Thanksgiving Day?
Turkey Free Thanksgiving?
Or is it Thanksgiving Day? Or is it National Squirrel Hunting Day? What day does not
it's
belong?
It's not Thanksgiving Day.
Well, you're wrong.
Ah!
It is Thanksgiving Day. We just talked about it for 5 minutes.
He deserves the bell for that one. But okay,
bell?
Here's the buzzer.
Okay. Okay. Sam, what day does not belong?
Squirrel hunting day?
You're right. It does not belong.
Wow.
But it is National Allen Day.
I'm curious about the turkey-free Thanksgiving Day. We'll have to get to that one.
Yeah, we'll get to it in a second.
Instead of turkey-free Thanksgiving, I want free turkey Thanksgiving.
There you go. Perfect. Yes.
Okay. All right. National Allen Day. This is all about
people. Allen wrenches, right?
People named Allen. Okay. We're celebrating the name Allen today, a remarkable meaning behind the name. There's a hidden meaning.
Wow.
Get ready for this. We all know someone named Allen, whether they spell their name A-L-A-N or A-L-L-A-N or A-L-L-E-N. The name is a common name with not so common history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The name Allen is a masculine name meaning handsome, cheerful, harmony, and noble. The English language says the name Allen was brought to England during the 11th century by the people of Brittany. In fact, it's said to date back to the 6th century in Brittany among its people.
Amazing.
I know, it's
just
fascinating,
amazing.
Isn't it? You're not dozing off,
wow.
Are you? Okay. This
Where's
is
the surprise?
Where? Yeah, exactly.
Boy, you've got some kind of twist at the end here. I know it.
Well, it's very possible that today's National Allen Day originates as a memorial for Canadian mathematician Allen Day. The day was made significant.
What? Oh, God.
He made significant contributions. There's nothing to laugh about. He made significant contributions to the algebraic discoveries known as the lattice theory, and he became widely respected after publishing his thesis called A Characterization of Modularity for Congruence Lattices of Algebra. You know, that's a good book.
Oh, I picked up the book the other day.
It's good bedtime reading. You know, read it to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
You want that name again?
Well,
A Characterization of Modularity for Congruence Lattices of Algebra.
Algebra. Got it.
Okay.
All right. It's something we could certainly, possibly read this Thanksgiving Day to the family.
We could. Oh, you're going to like this one, though. It's National French Toast Day today.
Yes. You know, I'm a professional French toast maker.
I know it. French Toast Day. It's the eggy bread or omelet bread. It makes a great breakfast. Mm-hmm. Home cooks and professionals alike whip up a few personal favorites when it comes to French toast recipe. I know you like cinnamon on your French toast, right?
Absolutely.
The base consists of eggs and milk whisked together. Mm-hmm. Bread's dipped into the mixture and fried till it's golden. Many people also add a little sugar or vanilla or cinnamon.
Sure.
What else? Whiskey or?
Well, no. But, the secret here is you don't put the cinnamon in the batter. You don't do that.
No, that would be stupid.
Well, that's what I say.
The flavor of French toast can be brightened with a squeeze of fresh orange. Oh, I've never tried that.
No.
Or stuffed with sautéed apples.
Nope.
Don't do that. Then dip it into, when you get a little syrup going. Nuts and seeds. Add some cream. Who would put nuts?
No.
That's a bad idea, isn't it? Whipped cream? How about that on your French toast?
No? One of the things I used to do with French toast is when you're frying the first side, you fry in oil, but you fry it and you sprinkle some
what?
Wheat bran.
Oh,
on the top of it if you want a little fiber added in. And the wheat bran, when you flip it over and you grill that as well, it just adds this really nice nutty flavor to the French toast. It is just delicious.
Making me hungry. Yeah. You know what I like is really good maple syrup. You like you find at the farmers markets, you know, the good natural maple syrup.
Well, it's got to be the grade that is darkest.
Oh.
I mean, that is the maple
the
flavor.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. My son, he went up to Canada for a vacation, and he brought back a can. They have maple syrup from Canada, you know, the maple leaves, and they had that maple syrup, and it was just absolutely fantastic. Yeah. My God.
Especially if you warm it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, well, you know, you put you make a lot of French toast, you heat it up in microwave, and you just sprinkle a little,
it's good stuff.
Oh, go to hell.
Making me hungry.
Here's something that won't make you hungry. Turkey-free Thanksgiving.
What about free turkey Thanksgiving?
Okay, well, you can have that too.
Okay.
This is turkey-free Thanksgiving. Several supportive perspectives for the removal of turkey from Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't like to eat meat, if you're a vegetarian, perhaps choices abound with a delicious spread without turkey. Whether you keep the yams going, sweet corn casserole, pumpkin pie, mashed potatoes, those are all good and turkey-free.
Oh yeah.
You don't care. How about chickpeas and some cheese and seasoning?
You know,
bell peppers.
No one wants you there. No one wants you at
Who
their feast.
Who would have a turkey-free Thanksgiving?
Because you know, because then they have to work double hard just to make something special for you.
Right.
So they don't want you to come to their Thanksgiving usually, and you do anyway, and you put everybody out, and you should feel bad about it.
Remember the show Everybody Loves Raymond? They had a turkey-free Thanksgiving where they made a turkey out of tofu, and it was awful.
Oh, God.
And everybody hated it. Yeah. Well, you can try that today. Anyway, it is Thanksgiving Day.
I wonder how many people are going to accidentally, burn down their houses trying to deep-fry a turkey today.
Oh, God.
Well, that happens quite a lot, actually. People who have never, deep-fried something that large before.
Just toss it in the deep fryer and then stand back what happens. Well,
great idea.
Before, they didn't make the deep fryers for these turkeys. You know, you had to kind of put something together yourself, and that's when it exploded burned everybody.
Man. Yeah, it's
horrible. Now they make them commercially, should be error-free.
Should be okay, but keep a fire extinguisher handy just in case. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. They wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Sleep better, dream bigger on handcrafted Verlo Mattress, available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com.
Stand back. Drop that turkey.
Look out. We've got more of the very special John and Gordy in the Morning Thanksgiving Day extravaganza
edition
coming up. Stay right there.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning on a Thanksgiving Day.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Wow.
Can't wait.
I've been waiting all year for this.
Yeah.
You know, the spread of food out there on the table. Oh, man. And what do? Do you mix some of it together? Do you just let it all just ooze into each other?
Now, what about the gravy for the mashed potatoes? Do you like the dark brown gravy or do you like the light brown kind of liquidy gravy?
Gravy is gravy to me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's all gravy to you.
Depends on how you make it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you could always brown the flour first before you mix it into the gravy so it has a slightly nutty flavor. Almost a roux at that point.
You get a little bit of the juice off of the turkey.
Oh, yeah. You got to get that out of
it.
See, we make it in the bag.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So the bag holds all that juice in it.
Okay.
And it's just delicious. And it cooks in like 2.5 hours. It's really quick.
It's making me hungry just talking about all this stuff. All right.
Well.
What time does the beer come out during the Thanksgiving feast? Beer for everybody?
Well, a lot of people, you know, they don't even get to the food. They just pass out from drinking all morning.
Some of my family who watched the football game on Thanksgiving Day, they're hitting the beer all day long.
Yeah. All liquored up and ready to go. That's the way to do it.
No.
Well, that tryptophan, though, after the Thanksgiving meal, you know, that'll get you.
Yes.
Everybody
yes,
starts
a little
taking
tired.
A nap.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do you got? You got something from The Daily Show for Thanksgiving?
Well, I don't know.
Day?
I thought we were really actually going to go to the calendar. Gonna,
that's right. Well,
okay.
We got to take a look at the history books. That's what
I'm
we
sorry.
Always do.
I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay.
What the hell?
Goodness gracious.
Oh, man. You get a vacuum every once in a while.
Really?
It just gets worse and worse.
Man,
I think somebody's like putting asbestos on this book or something.
Yeah.
Let's
take
see.
Some of that asbestos and fry it up in the frying pan. Mm.
I bet
bit
it would
of gravy
brown.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good with your turkey.
Let's see what we got here. A couple of months ago, we mentioned the anniversary of the first person going over Niagara Falls in a barrel, successfully, that is.
Right. Yeah.
Well, today, in 1886, the first woman to do so.
It didn't go well. Huh?
No, it did. Well, it went. She survived.
Yes, that's good.
Sadie Allen was the first woman to go over. She went with George Hazlitt, who was the guy who went over in August of that year.
Wait a minute. The two of them were in the same barrel?
They were in the barrel together, yeah.
Wow.
And
he didn't make it.
He survived. Were battered and bruised, and she threw up on the way down.
No.
But she made it.
Hmm.
I can't imagine why people would do this.
That is just so stupid.
There's nothing but rocks at the bottom of the falls.
Well, that's what I would think. Roiling in the water with giant boulders and rocks at the bottom.
Yeah, until they can fish you out.
Yeah.
Open up the barrel. It was a custom-made barrel, a lot of padding, I'm sure, inside.
I should hope if you're falling a couple hundred feet.
Yes. Do people still try to do that?
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably.
I mean, it's already been done. You got to do something more risky now.
Anything else in
just
the
jump
book?
To your death. That's a little more risky.
I guess. I mean, isn't the goal to survive, though?
Yes.
Exactly. All right. Let's see what else we got. Today in 1922, skywriting was used as an advertisement for the first time.
Really something to see back in 1922.
Seeing a plane right out in the sky. Yeah, it was an advertisement for the Vanderbilt Hotel.
Vanderbilt's a long word. That would have taken some time.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
Well, I had some money to attempt to make it look good, I guess.
Yeah, the Vanderbilts had tons of money back then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got one significant birthday, at least, that I could find. John Stewart was born today, 1962.
John Stewart.
He's younger than I am. Well, that's amazing.
Stewart.
John, you've been around a while.
I have. My God. Hmm. He's complaining about being old now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hmm. How old is John Stewart?
Well, 1962, so.
Okay, so he's 64.
Not that old.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, 62. Yeah, 62.
62, okay.
I swear I can do math.
Sorry.
Well, I'm glad we took a little time to figure that out.
There's a reason we work in radio, right?
Okay.
Right, yeah, you know, time constraints here.
All right. Anything else in the history books?
That's all we got.
We got the history and we got the birthdays. Okay.
Really? That's it?
It happened on this day as if you care.
And no one cares.
Nobody does.
Nobody cares.
We were arguing in the break about Sloppy Joes, right, John?
Right. Yes, we were.
Well, what's the argument about?
Well, the argument is I don't know how to make Sloppy Joes. I can't. Well, let me just say I know how to make it. I just can't make it taste
the
like
whole
a Sloppy
point of it
Joe.
Is that it's a simple meal. How hard can it be?
You make up the ground beef, you brown it, and then you put in some kind of mixture, some kind of combination of flavors. I don't know. I can't do it. I can't make it taste like a regular classic Sloppy Joe.
Well, they make those little packets you can get. What, are you trying to make it from scratch?
Yeah.
Oh.
I want it from scratch.
I have no idea.
Well, you mentioned what? Manwich,
Right? Yeah, the stuff you get in a can.
Yeah. Is that the beef and sauce?
No, it's just the sauce, and then you mix it in with ground beef.
That's the easy way.
I might do that.
Okay.
I don't even know if the kid's going to like that kind of stuff.
The kids?
Yeah, the kids.
They've never had Sloppy Joe's before?
I don't think they have.
Known as a kid's food. They serve it at school lunches all the time.
Hmm.
They haven't warmed up to kids' food. They really, really don't like it.
They're not kids anymore.
But now, they're into this Culver's thing.
Mm.
They're addicted to the double burgers.
Boy.
What can I do? You know, they're smash burgers, two of them, and they're just so damn good.
They
are. Right?
Yeah, do they get a kid's meal when they're at Culver's?
No.
Oh, I do that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we talked about this once before, made fun of me for it.
That's right. The kid's meal is as big as an adult meal. Don't say anything.
Yeah, well, and you get the free custard with it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Now, do you go through the drive-thru to order that? Because can you order a kid's meal if you're an adult and you walk in? Can you order?
They don't
a kid's
like
meal?
They
don't like that.
They've never stopped me from doing that.
Well, you kind of still look like a kid. You could, maybe pass for a kid.
I'm like 5'11".
Tall kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Right. My kids are 6'4". So,
they can't do that.
Well, you're a tall guy. It makes sense that your kids ought to be tall as well.
Well, they're too tall.
Sloppy Joe's. What goes good with Sloppy Joe's as a side dish?
Bun?
Okay.
Actually, I don't know. I have no idea.
Some chips?
I guess chips,
that's
probably.
That's all.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah.
Anything?
No.
Applesauce?
No.
Nothing. Okay. We're talking food this morning because it's Thanksgiving Day.
Well, if you know how to make a really good Sloppy Joe, always text us and let us know.
Yes, you can do that. Okay, back with more of the special Thanksgiving edition of John and Gordy in the Morning right here, where you're listening, 92.7 FM, WMDX.
You got to walk right up to the
break. I want more Thanksgivings.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Start your day early at 6 with John and Gordy in the Morning and stick around for me up next.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Always follows us here on 92.7 WMDX.
You know, she wanted us to go out on stage with her and Sexy Liberal
at the Barrymore
concert, but
we were busy.
We left it up to them. We wanted the spotlight to be on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just made that up.
It's 7:35 now on the dot, and look who's here. It's Mike McCabe. Good morning, Mike.
Yes.
Good morning. It's
Wednesday, so you are here. And we appreciate that.
Good to be here.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, it's a great, great intro.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Oh, wait. No.
Well, last week we got caught up in a different topic, but we really wanted to at least last week go to what you were talking about many times before earlier on this program, and it's called the fourth turning. And because that is something that will hopefully give people some hope in the future, even though there is a long journey before that, right? Let's get to the topic itself. What is the fourth turning?
It's based on a book, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's a book called The Fourth Turning. And right now, it has special relevance.
Mm-hmm.
I've written about it before. We've talked about it even on the show before, maybe a year ago or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it has particular relevance. Now, when people are trying to make sense out of what just happened, and they're trying to make sense of what is happening every day now with all the appointments that the
crazy
the president's making crazy appointments. Yeah, it's like, you know, assembling a reality TV.
That's what it is.
Yes, you
know, with former TV hosts.
Yeah, they're casting.
Yeah.
But you know, when people are trying to make sense out of this, I think the temptation is just to focus on the latest post-mortem that's out on the election or somebody's autopsy of what happened and how how the patient died. But actually, I think history, the longer sweep of history is where you need to turn. And there is this wonderful book that was written called The Fourth Turning. And I would actually recommend another book as well. It's called The Upswing. And both of these books really show the same thing, is that history is cyclical. And there's a very, very identifiable pattern to history. And it repeats. And it repeats like clockwork. And there's these cycles that happen, and they're roughly a lifetime long.
Right.
We're talking about an 80 to 100-year cycle.
Mm.
And that, you know, the Fourth Turning authors said that that kind of easily divides into four pieces, which are each about a generation long, 20 to 25 years,
mm-hmm.
that this cycle will happen. And they call them turnings.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a first, second, third, and fourth turning. It's happened three times through American history already. And
so it's proven itself at this point.
It's been this very identifiable pattern. Mm-hmm. And one culminated in the American Revolution. Another culminated around the Civil War and then Reconstruction after that. The next one culminated at the cataclysm of the Great Depression and then World War II. And then the post-war boom came. And we have gone through three more cycles, three turnings, and we are smack dab in the middle of a fourth turning. Again, one of the two authors of the fourth turning has passed away. The other wrote an update in 2023 and said, you know, what if history is a good measure, and it does seem to be showing us the way, we're going to see all of this, this fourth turning that we're in right now, really come to a climax in the early 2030s.
Right.
And what happens is
I can't wait.
What's going to happen?
But think about what's happened before
in
each one of these cycles. You know, you go from a society being very cohesive and unified to people starting to think, well, I want a little bit more personal autonomy. I'm kind of, you know, there's a little bit too much conformity for my taste. And pretty soon institutions start to be distrusted. And all of a sudden it you know, society kind of comes apart at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
And it results in something like the American Revolution or the Civil War or the Great Depression and then World War II. But after each one of those things happens, then there's a, sort of a rebirth. And we go from being a me society back to a we society. And institutions are sort of rebuilt, and social cohesiveness sort of comes back. It returns.
Yep.
And then you are on that sort of high of social togetherness, and society really surges, and tremendous progress is made. And think about the last fourth turning.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the trauma of the Great Depression and then World War II. But then in the post-war era, that was really the golden age of America, right?
Right, exactly.
And after the Civil War, there was Reconstruction, and an awful lot of stuff happened that really built a new America. And so fourth turnings are also phoenix moments where you know, sort of out of the ashes comes a rebirth. And the authors say, well, we're pretty much on pace to see, you know, but with fourth turnings comes real trauma, and we are going through that. And I think it's important to realize that, you know, that this has been cyclical, and that we have seen the loss of sort of a we society and the emergence of a me society. And,
and
how could that be better manifested than having a certifiable narcissist in the White House?
Oh, absolutely.
Here we are. And these are reflections of our times. And I think if you want to make sense out of what we're going through as a country, you know, don't just you know, don't just obsess over the last post-mortem of this particular election, mm-hmm. but look at the patterns of history, because not only are there answers to be found there, but I think there's also some comfort to be found in the fact that we've gone through these periods before, mm-hmm. light has been found at the end of the tunnel, and that actually it, you know, what comes from it can often be, you know, a real surge of national development and growth.
It almost seems all accidental, though. I mean, we could have gone, you know, with the Harris-Walz campaign.
See, but the thing is that you know, none of these things ever were predictable. The Civil War could have been won by the South.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And the Battle of Gettysburg could have gone either way, and that was a really pivotal battle. If a few things had happened, if a few generals had behaved differently, that battle could have turned out differently, and that could have swung the war. But if the Civil War had been won by the South, would we still have two different countries? Would we have two separate countries? And would slavery still be an institution in America? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, it just would have played out differently. But the cataclysm still would have happened, yeah. And something, there would have been some kind of rebirth after that. So, yeah, this election could have gone either way. It was that close. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we are not in this period where our institutions have grown weak and distrusted almost to the point where people are dismissive of them. They don't trust them.
Exactly.
They don't want them. They want them sort of burned to the ground.
Yeah.
We are in a very narcissistic point in it's a very me-oriented society. You see all the signs that existed before during fourth turnings.
Talking with Mike McCabe here about this, the book, everything you're talking about is based on this book, The Fourth Turning, by William Strauss and Neil Howe. But is this just an American phenomena that they're talking? I mean, they're focused on American history with this book, but it seems like the whole world is going through chaos right now. I mean, you know, on the edge all around the world.
Does it have something to do with the U.S. being the superpower and kind of the center focus of all the economies?
I think it has a lot to do with human nature.
Okay.
Americans are humans, and Europeans are humans, and I think it has a lot to do with human nature, and it has a lot to do with generational change. One generation learns from another generation, and some of what they learn is that I don't want to repeat their mistakes. I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
Now, there are some societies out there where there isn't such a noticeable generation gap, where and as a result, there aren't these, you know,
upheavals
the way you see it in some countries. But you're right, Gordy.
Yeah.
This is happening globally. We can't be arrogant enough to think that America is operating in a vacuum and what happens here is totally an American phenomenon. Yes, they looked at American history. They didn't look at global history. But it doesn't take a lot of imagination to realize that these are human patterns, mm-hmm. and it's generational. I don't think there's an accident that each cycle is roughly a generation long.
Right.
And then it all happens over the course of roughly a human lifetime. And part of the reason that we keep repeating ourselves is that we're mortal. We live a human lifetime. I wasn't alive during the Great Depression or World War II. And I certainly wasn't alive during the Civil War. So none of us alive today has gone through this before.
Right. Now, way back when, in the 60s, I think it was, maybe we had a song about history repeating itself. I don't know if you remember this, but...
What song was that? You remember?
It was called History Repeats Itself.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good catchy title. Well,
yeah, it's a catchy title. And I think we all kind of discounted it at that point. You know, it got old. Yeah, okay, it hit. Yeah, not really. You know, we didn't believe it. And what I'm getting at here is the importance of this particular book, the ideas in this book. I don't think we should give short shrift to the idea that history does repeat itself. And I'm almost shocked that something as important as this, which is historically proven, is not talked about, is not brought up often enough, so at least we can understand what is happening to society and to the cycle of politics that we're going through right now.
Yeah, and actually reading this book and the other one that I mentioned, The Upswing, yeah. It actually makes you feel better about mm-hmm. what we're going through, because you realize, you know, American society has gone through periods like this before, and then something brand new emerged from it. So we're not going to be stuck in 2024 forever.
Right.
You know, what we're going through right now, and for a lot of your listeners, these next 4 years are going to be a painful ordeal. But we're not going to be stuck in that forever. And that's what history teaches us, is that something comes after, and it's actually pretty predictable what comes, mm-hmm. what comes next. There will be a social rebirth. And you know, unless we break that cycle, unless we do something that defies that rhythm of history, there's going to be something that comes after this, and it usually is pretty special.
Right.
And that's the hopeful part of this book. And I just think it can make you, it helps me make sense of the nonsense that we're living through. But it also, there's also a part of that history that is comforting. Because there's something exciting that is about to happen, out of this phoenix moment where things appear to be sort of disintegrating to ash, right?
Yeah, yes, basically. We're seeing it every day. Yeah, reporting on it. Yeah,
exactly.
Seems like it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and that brings up the idea that you know, we oftentimes criticize the mega for voting the way they did. And I've often said, and I still think this is true, I think they wanted a strong man to kind of reassure them because they've lost faith in the news media and they don't have a source anymore. So they need some strong man to say, everything's okay. I've got control of this. Don't worry. I've got your back.
You know what has happened at each fourth turning is there's an upsurge in the number of people who talk about the end times because they see the fourth turning as the end.
Right.
That there's nothing beyond it, that really everything is going to come to an end. And you're hearing that. I think that that's what motivates a lot of people, is they're looking at the future and they're thinking, man, I think we're doomed.
Yeah. Right.
Aliens are coming. They're going to take us all away, along with Elon Musk.
And that's what's comforting about something like a fourth turning, is that there's something that comes after this.
Right.
And it actually can be a really exciting
Now, if
rebirth.
We can survive, you know, the administration that is being proposed, You know,
there's light at the end of the tunnel.
We've got to make it through that. Yes, I don't know how that's going to work out. You know, no education. People aren't going to learn anything. They're not going to believe the
news
anymore.
And people had to make it through the Civil War and the Great Depression and everything else.
All of that, yeah.
All right, we will continue our conversation here with Mike McCabe in just a moment. Just got a report. East Washington is backed up on near East High School for a train. So that's what that's all about. Okay?
Good timing.
All right, coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Ow!
Oh! Woo! 92.7 WMDX.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com. We're back with Mike McCabe.
Yeah, let's talk about the upswing. Let's. We haven't really touched on the subject matter in that. What's that all about?
Well, you know, Bob Putnam wrote a book called Bowling Alone, which basically showed how, you know, social institutions were crumbling and, you know, how people used to go bowling together. Mm-hmm. And as the title implied, you know, now people would go bowling alone, or they stopped belonging to clubs like Rotary clubs or Kiwanis clubs. They just stopped. There was an erosion of what Putnam called social capital. He looked at a single generation.
What generation was he looking at when it broke up?
He was looking at sort of the high tide of social cohesion in the 1950s and then into the 1960s.
Okay, got it.
And
yeah.
And he basically thought that the Reagan Revolution was the moment when we went from being a we society to a me society.
Yeah.
Well, then he teamed up with a colleague, Shailen Romney, and they wrote this book called The Upswing, and they didn't look at a single generation. They looked at 125 years of American history. Mm-hmm. So they took a wider look, much like the authors of The Fourth Turning did. And what they found was there was this predictable rhythm that we would go from being a we society to a me society, back to a we society, back to a me society.
Wow.
And it was, it, you know, there was this predictable, and they looked at everything from economic measuring sticks to social measures to baby naming. You know, they looked in the sports world. They looked at all these different metrics. And there was this same sort of an inverted U when they charted it on a graph, where we would be in these troughs, kind of me society, then there would be a surge of togetherness, and the we society would emerge, and then it would go back down into a trough. And, you know, they are saying that we are in a trough right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as the title implies, we are right near a point where we start an upswing.
All right.
Back up to a time when there will be a lot of
cohesion,
of social cohesion.
Yeah. Progress.
But we are kind of coming apart at the seams. Yeah. And it was fascinating to me that here these very separate books written by different authors, we're finding the same cyclical nature of,
exactly,
of social behavior. And they also were pinpointing the time when we were going to bottom out and then when we would start to move in the other direction. The authors of The Fourth Turning said it's going to happen around the early 2030s. And here, Romney and Putnam are saying the same doggone thing, that we're bottoming out here in the 2020s. We are getting as me-oriented as you possibly can be. Public institutions are both distrusted and sort of almost despised. And here, you know, they feel that we're going to be on this precipice of an upswing. So, you know, I really think that if people are struggling to make sense of our current moment, those two books provide such insight and also a little bit of inspiration or hope. But yeah, I know. I mean, I have my own book out, so I probably shouldn't be plugging some other authors.
Well, but, you can talk about your
book. But these books, I think, are so valuable at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
They have helped me sort of get through this really difficult period, because it just provides such wonderful insight.
Well, you're helping me right now.
Your book, Miracles Along County Q, available now. Great. What a great holiday gift that would be.
All three books.
Yes, I finished it.
All three books.
Yes, all of your books.
And it's
a great book.
And
big thumbs up.
And it certainly does speak to the stuff we're going through in our society right now. But the reason I bring up these two books is that The Fourth Turning and The Upswing.
Upswing.
And man, they both mirror each other, which is fascinating, because they do entirely separate research. They're looking at different factors. They're looking at they use different measuring sticks, and yet come to the same doggone conclusion, which is fascinating.
Let me ask you something about a generational thing, and I don't know if this is true for your family, but we're not a tight-knit family anymore. We don't stay in contact with cousins and family get-togethers anymore, and I'm wondering if that has something to do with this. Well, have you noticed that in your life as well?
That's not isolated to your family, John.
That's what I'm asking.
That's an utterly American phenomenon, if not a global one. There's no question that there's, you know, when you're talking about social institutions becoming weak.
Yeah.
You're not just talking about public institutions like government agencies or government programs. You're talking about family structures. You're talking about other social structures. Like Putnam and Romney were writing about.
Right.
You know, people stopped belonging to Kiwanis clubs or Rotary clubs, or they stopped, you know, joining the League of Women Voters.
Bowling leagues.
Bowling leagues have fallen on hard times. And so families get together. There are fewer family reunions. I remember fondly we would go to the Turtle Town Hall and have this big family reunion, and the kids would have the run of the place, and downstairs there was a kitchen and dining space, and it was we filled that place. We filled the town hall with extended family. We don't do that anymore.
Those were the days.
They're coming back.
Yeah,
and it will come back.
The upswing.
Mike McCabe, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Wednesday. Also, our thanks to Beth Johnson from Holiday Art Market for joining us. Tomorrow, Busted Pencils, and also the Rock and Roll Dentist will make a return. Chris Kammer in studio with us, singing some songs.
All right, can't wait.
All good. John?
We'll bring my wife in. She needs some dental work. So.
Bring her in. We'll see what happens. Have a great day. Stephanie Miller is next. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.